playoffs. Tonight has been postponed. You are all safe. And take your time in leaving the arena tonight and do so in an orderly fashion. Thank you for coming out tonight.
Hey, Birdwatch fans. Welcome into a live edition coronavirus episode after last night, which, as you probably know, the game against the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento got postponed after Utah Jazz center Rudy Gobert was confirmed to have coronavirus. They canceled that game and postponed the season. My name is Jeff Nowak, digital sports producer for NOAA.com. I'm here with Christian Clark. I'm not with Christian Clark. He's out in Sacramento still, bright and early. Christian, just tell us about, you were out at the game last night, or the game that wasn't. Tell us, what was that scene like? I mean, what was it like, that kind of like uncertainty whether they're going to play the game or not?
Hey, Jeff. Well, first, I think we need to talk about the Oklahoma City PA announcer and what he said when that game got canceled. I got a lot of nothing to see here, please disperse vibes from that. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was like he was announcing that like there was a rain delay at a baseball game. No, it's not normal. This is not a normal announcement.
No. I mean, that was just one of the weirdest hours of my life, period. I'll give you guys just kind of a window into, I guess, what it's like to be a print news reporter still. So when the news broke that Rudy Gobert had coronavirus tested positive, the NBA initially said that, okay, everything starting Thursday is postponed. Pelicans Kings will be the last game we're going to play here for probably a couple of weeks. So, you know, I got a pretty tight deadline because I'm on the West Coast, and I'm thinking like, all right, I got to write something that basically says this is the last game for a while. And so I wrote that as kind of the hook of the story. And basically, as soon as I hit send on that story, you know, I get back upstairs. There's about 3 minutes for warmups, and I see the Pelicans aren't on the floor. And immediately I'm like, oh, if the Pelicans aren't out on the floor warming up with 3 minutes to go before the national anthem, they are not playing this game. So I hustle back downstairs to the tunnel as quickly as I can. You know, I see that most of the Pelicans are in the locker room. There's kind of just some anxious, nervous energy, I would say. And shortly after that, it gets announced that, no, they're not playing this game. It was just strange.
And so just kind of go into the connections there, where I believe it was the a referee. He had worked a game with Utah a few nights earlier, and that was kind of the holdup.
Yeah, so that was the crux of the issue here, really. So two nights before the Kings and Pelicans were supposed to play, the Utah Jazz had faced the Raptors, and a guy named Courtney Kirkland had officiated that game. Well, he was there at the arena about to officiate Kings Pelicans, and that was kind of the issue, and that was why Pelicans, you know, players and staffers had reservations, understandably, I think. I mean, they didn't want their players running around a couple feet from, you know, a referee who had been in close contact with Rudy Gobert, player who was patient zero for the NBA with coronavirus a couple days earlier. So, yeah, that was definitely the crux of the issue. I think if, you know, there hadn't been a referee who'd been in such close contact with Gobert a couple days earlier, that this game probably would have gone on as planned.
Right, and it would have been bizarre. It was bizarre to see it canceled, but it would have almost been more bizarre to see it played, knowing, you know, what was going to happen after it. And the way that the news came out was crazy, too, because, you know, if you were paying attention on Twitter, there were clips of Mark Cuban, who's been very vocal about all of this. I assume he's learning about it on Twitter at the game, sitting courtside, because the Mavericks were playing as this was happening. And you can see him in his seat just like flipping his head back, like, what the heck? It's just crazy to see that happen, like, in real time. And this all kind of happened in real time. The Oklahoma City Thunder and Utah Jazz were out warming up for that game. And then all of a sudden they get pulled off the floor. And then, you know, a few minutes later you get the, you know, I think it was Schefter who tweeted it first. It just says, you know, the NBA announced that the player on the Utah Jazz preliminary tested positive for COVID-19. It's been confirmed since then. And now they've suspended play until further notice. They're coming up with a plan. But what does that mean? I mean, what do you even compare this to in terms of like the next few weeks? No NBA. What happens after that? Do you just go back to, you know, business as usual? Obviously, you don't want to go too far down the rabbit hole without knowing a lot of this stuff. But
is there even anything to compare it to? I mean, has there ever been a weeks long stoppage in, you know, 2/3 of the way through the NBA season for anything, let alone, you know, a virus or something like that? I mean, it is a pretty unprecedented situation. I mean, I was talking to some of the other reporters and Pelicans TV people before the game, And I was pretty much like, the NBA has two options here. They can either try this half measure of playing games without fans in the stadiums, which it didn't seem like that was ever really going to work. I mean, it just seemed like a half measure that probably wasn't good enough, or they're just going to have to hit pause on the season altogether and then figure it out later. And, you know, as soon as there was one player who had tested positive for coronavirus, I think they were going to have to, you know, basically decide to suspend the season like they did. They really had no other choice because, I mean, the Jazz have played, I think they had, you know, 5-6 games in the previous 2 weeks. I mean, the NBA really just needs to figure out who has it and who doesn't at this point.
Yeah, I was talking to someone last night who didn't quite understand, like, why this reaction had to happen so swiftly. And, you know, as a regular human being, I think it's hard to comprehend just how much personal and physical interaction these players have with other people and how quickly that spider webs out from that. You know, me as a person, I can go an entire day while I'm, like, in close contact with, like, maybe 1, 2, 3 people. Rudy Gobert, he's in contact with the training staff. He's in contact with his teammates in very close proximity. He's in contact with anyone who he signs an autograph for. And you heard the NBA say, please don't give fans high fives. That sort of thing. And he's in these arenas where thousands of people are going through them. He's in these practice facilities where hundreds of people are going through them. So you have no idea just how quickly that could spread out. And that's true of pretty much everyone in the NBA. And I think that's why you saw this, like, really, really fast reaction and this really serious reaction. You know, the only thing that really comes to mind, and it has nothing to do with the virus, is, you know, after 9/11, they had to cancel a lot of baseball games. You know, the Yankees had to cancel a few games, but that's a 182-game season. You know, you can miss a few baseball games, and that doesn't change quite as much as the NBA. So I don't know how you can really compare that. But virus-wise, I don't remember one. You know, you have had a lockout season that shortened the season to, what, 66 games in the early 2000s? What year was that? 2012, maybe?
Yeah, 2011, 2012 season.
Yeah. So you have some, but that was the beginning of the season. So that's a little, you know, there are teams competing for a playoff spot. The Pelicans need those games. That's kind of the thing that you don't want to talk about basketball too much at this point when people are sick. But as you kind of look into getting back into it, you have to ask, so are they going to just shorten the season? Are they going to, you know, they got to stretch it out? Mark Cuban was on Get Up this morning. He talked about how they might play games into August, which obviously the draft is in June. So that would completely change the dynamic there, you know? So I think there's just a lot of questions. What do you think?
Well, quick tangent real quick. The 2011-12 season is a great argument for why the NBA season should be a little bit shorter, because I think that was one of the best seasons we've had in recent memory. I've long said that the NBA should try to cut this thing down to 70-72 games, but you know, here and right now, it would obviously suck if for the Pelicans if this a couple games got lopped off of the schedule. I mean, they need all the ground they can to make up those 3.5 games. I mean, they just need all the runway available, or else, you know, I think it could look really, really bleak. You know, if you don't chop off any of the games and you just decide to pick up play in, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and you know, the NBA right now is saying that it's going to be a minimum of 2 weeks. And someone from ESPN pointed out that, you know, over in China, the Professional Basketball League is about to pick up after 10 weeks off. So I think it's going to be a little bit longer than 2 weeks. But then you get into, you know, arena scheduling conflicts. You get into conflicts with the Olympics, if the Olympics are still going to happen. I mean, logistically, it's just going to be a huge pain. Yeah, I don't know, man. I wouldn't want to have to be the person that sits down and looks at, like, not necessarily Smoothie King, but like the Staples Center concert schedule and tries to plan games around that.
Right. And, you know, in the NBA playoffs, it's like a complete bear. You know, you're talking about, they don't really have an option. They have to play at these arenas. They can't just move it around. They can't reschedule a lot of this stuff. You know, and you start to, and like I mentioned, so you have the draft, you end up, you know, is this going to be the impetus for moving the NBA schedule next season? If they end up having to extend it, they've already talked about some, like, moving the NBA season to a later start date, you know, and if they end up playing into August, is that going to be what, you know, tips it over the edge anyway? Something they were thinking about doing. You never know.
Well, this has been our colleague Scott Kushner's pet cause is getting the NBA to start on Christmas. I don't think it's a bad idea personally.
But. Right, you avoid a lot of the NFL season now, so I wouldn't be shocked if that ends up being the answer in the end. Is they're just like, okay, we're going to push it back, and then next season we're going to figure it out. But so, you know, what was the mood around the team as you were there? I mean, they obviously didn't even come out of the locker room, but, like, just what was like the general vibe in the arena? Because it's just weird. It's like, what do you do now?
Yeah, well, I mean, there the lower bowl at Golden One Center was about one third full. So the fans are pissed, you know, that they had taken time to drive out here, you know, pay for parking, whatever, filter into the arena, get their soft drink, get their hot dog. And, you know, right as the game is about to tip off, someone over the loudspeaker saying like, oh, sorry, got to go home. And, you know, I get where they're frustrated. They're going to get refunded. This was the right and smart thing to do. You know, as far as a player's perspective, yeah, just disbelief and shock generally. Jahlil Okafor, I wrote this in my story on NOLA.com about the night and a pretty crazy hour specifically. He came out of the locker room and just said, this is crazy to no one in particular. You know, to think you're going to be on the road for a couple more days, to think you've got three more games in a four-game road trip, and then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're getting on the bus, we're going to the airport, and then we're going back to New Orleans. I mean, I'm sure that's never really happened to any of these guys before. I don't think they did know how to react. And it looked like they touched down 2-3 in the morning last night. They're back in New Orleans. So I think, you know, just being back home will give the Pelicans a chance to just figure out how to deal with the situation. Because we were asking Alvin Gentry, you know, before the game, like, you know, Luke Walton has said that his players have had the option of being tested. And he's like, basically, he was like, I think that's a good idea, but like, we've been on the road, you know? There's not that much they can do when you're away from home, really.
You're asking him from 6 to 8 feet away from a safe from a safe interviewing distance. You're supposed to be headed to Utah today, correct? And instead you're flying back to New Orleans?
Yeah, I had like a 1 p.m. flight to Utah. I canceled that as soon as I found out last night that the game was getting canceled. I booked a flight back to New Orleans. So yeah, I'll be back in New Orleans this afternoon too. And I don't even know what I'm gonna do for however long there is in basketball. Get ready for a lot of Zion film pieces, I guess.
Yeah, you're going to be part-time healthcare reporter. So the funny thing is, this actually kind of reminds me, on a very, very minimal level, of like, I remember a Pelicans game that was canceled in a similar fashion, not because there was a, you know, an illness, but because the roof was leaking. And it was similar just in the sense that everyone was already in the arena. And everyone was sitting down, like it was against the Pacers. It was the year they made the playoffs, so it was 2017-18 season. And everyone was sitting in their seats. They were waiting. About 20 minutes after the game was supposed to start, someone came on and like, okay, the players aren't coming out. You gotta go home. And everyone was like, I've been here for an hour. And they sent everybody home. And they gave everyone the option for either a refund or tickets to the inevitable replay of that game, which ended up being later in the season. And that's going to be another big question here. So how does this work for the season ticket holders? Obviously, we don't have that question. We don't have that answer at this point, but that's going to be something that each team has to address individually, you know, because they're either going to have to just redistribute a bunch of tickets, or if games get canceled, you got to compensate the people who have bought tickets in some way. Imagine if you're someone trying to resell tickets right now, and you're just sitting there with like dozens of tickets that you have nothing, you can't even, or even worse, if they play the games without fans, what do you do? It's almost better off in that sense if they reschedule the games.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you who doesn't want games to get chopped off of the remaining schedule is the people whose jobs it is to sell these season tickets for next year. I mean, imagine going into that phone call, you know, trying to get someone to purchase a season ticket package, and, you know, the person on the other end's like, no, I don't know, I didn't see Zion for half the year last year. When I did buy the package, you know, it got cut down by like 5 home games. I don't know. It's not a, you don't have a lot of negotiating ground there.
Yeah, it's not a great selling point. I do want to reset just a little bit. So I'm here with Christian Clark. You can follow him on Twitter at CClark3000. My name is Jeff Nowak. You know, I think it's important to remind folks, like, a lot of this is precautionary. You know, ideally, you know, you hope that people will stop jokingly touching microphones to kind of laugh at the process, and that's just I the interesting thing would be whether that was how he actually contract. I don't know if we'll ever find out, but that the irony there is a bit too much for me. You know, in a perfect world, the process that they're taking and the quarantining of folks in 2 weeks, hopefully you can get back to playing basketball, and then you have to worry about, you know, what does that look like in terms of the basketball. I pine for a day where we can get back to talking about basketball.
It's going to be a while. Yeah. Well, I don't know. In the meantime, I guess I'm going to dig into the Zion film. I don't know what else there is to say. And yeah, I guess learn a little bit more about the healthcare system.
Right. Plenty of time for film study, some eerily quiet March Madness, and hand sanitizer.
Yeah, there's a couple of books I've been meaning to read, but I have had zero time since I started this job. So I don't know. Might have time to read a book. That'd be pretty wild.
There you go.
All right. Well, tweet me some book recommendations, Birdwatch listeners.
There you go. Well, Christian, appreciate you taking the time. Have a safe flight back. Again, this is Birdwatch. Find us on anywhere you find your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us a review, subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and wash your hands.
That's the biggest thing. Wash your hands.
All right. This is it.